Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the Thanksgiving edition this week. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the show. News, the number one topic, Joey Styles tweets out and bashes NXT. Was this called for, Aaron?
I wonder if this is a work. Okay, I got to tell you something really weird. I watched part of NXT this week. No joke.
Are you kidding me?
Michael Cole and Josh Matthews had turned their backs to Matt Stryker, and they were playing with their iPod touches or their iPhones or whatever it was. And they were just playing with it, and they're like, hey, have you checked out this new game? And they were just shooting the breeze. It was like, wow, like, they really don't care about this show anymore. Like, I think it's like meta. It's for the smarks, in my opinion. I really think it is. So,
well, that's news. I'm surprised. They would even do that. Very surprised.
I think that this is a work. You know.
Well, his contract, though, expired yesterday, which is kind of weird. So is he still with the WWE? We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the taping. We're not sure yet. Anyway, so did you have a great Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Excellent. So anyways, let's talk about something that's kind of weird. A drugged up Jeff Hardy bashes CM Punk's straight edge lifestyle. And he goes on a rant. If you guys haven't checked it out, you need to. It's very, very weird, and you can tell that Jeff's on something. I don't know if he's high or what, but he's on something. Well, I mean, did you see this video yet?
Yes, I did. And he's high. I mean, he's not – I wouldn't want to say he's drunk. I mean, he really kind of just digs into CM Punk. I mean, he does – and so does Matt. I mean, Matt really gives it to him, too, so.
That's true. But I do like the fact that they do make a good point. They said Ambien is a drug. And they said that CM Punk has to have an Ambien in order to sleep, which is kind of weird. But in a way, they are kind of telling the truth. If he's doing that, he's not, you know, he's not, you don't have to be true to your character, but he is big about straight edge outside the ring as well, so.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Anyway, so Kurt wants Team Angle to join TNA.
Apparently TNA doesn't want to have him in there. I don't know why, because I think that Shelton Benjamin would be a very welcome addition to TNA, but they don't have the money apparently, and they don't want to have him in there. They don't have a storyline ready for him. But I really think that if you bring in Charlie and Shelton, you bring him in as a tag team. And, I mean, you don't call him Team Angle. You know, you just come up with a different name or the world's greatest tag team. You know, you call him something else. I think they would do very well there, and they would really help energize the tag team division, you know?
Oh, yeah. They had a really, really good match at Ring of Honor a couple weeks ago, and it's like, wow, these guys work great together. They should stay together, but, of course, you know, it's wrestling. Everyone likes to split up for some reason. Anyway, so pay-per-view. Really, really good pay-per-view. I enjoyed it a lot. We had a total of how many matches, Aaron?
Well, eight. There were like seven, weren't there?
Eight?
Yeah, eight.
Eight matches.
They actually had a lot of matches.
And I was in shock because I was like, they have to be listening to our show because that was my big beef. I hate watching a pay-per-view if I'm going to see five, four, maybe six matches. They had eight, and they were good matches. I was actually impressed.
Something that's kind of really important to this, too, every title was defended. Did you notice that, Ian?
Yes. It's like, wow, they have to be listening to us. Because if I'm correct, there was only two matches that three matches, actually, that there was not a title defended. Mm-hmm. So they have five titles then, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have the IC, the US, of course, the two worlds, and then the tag. And the women's, if you count that. So, you know, so you had that.
Were the tag titles defended?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It was the second to last match.
Wait, so that means there have been more matches, because then you had two Survivor Series matches.
You only had one Survivor Series match this year.
Oh, that's right.
SmackDown one.
Oh, yeah. SmackDown versus Raw. Or no, it's just SmackDown guys.
It's just a SmackDown one.
Gosh, yeah. See, I'm having a brain problem. All that turkey. Oh, that's right, because there was two matches, Morrison and Sheamus, and then the Survivor Series match. So, wow, they must be listening to us. That's the only thing I can think of. There's no way. I'm surprised. But anyway, so.
I am too. I was
more surprised that Daniel Bryan made Ted DiBiase tap.
I said this before. It's like fantasy football, and you're praying your team's going to win, and they're on this win streak, and you don't know if they're going to maintain it, and they do, and you're so happy. That is what this is like, because every single match he has, I expect him to lose. And so whenever he wins, and the ways that he wins are amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, and I didn't notice anything. I noticed one thing about the low bell lock, by the way, that I never noticed before until he put it on Ted, actually. The way that he wraps the arm around and then grows into like the cross face. I put my arm in that position and without like any pressure and acted like if someone was pulling back on my head, it freaking hurt. So if you really, they always said the cripple cross face hurt the most of their moves, but also Daniel Bryan puts it on both sides, left and right. He doesn't favor one side because with the match with Ted, he actually went to one side. If I'm correct, he went to the right side for Ted's right side, and then went to the left side to lock it in, which I was like, that's kind of weird because, you know, American wrestlers, usually it's right side. Everything's done on the – I'm sorry. So the right side or the left side?
I don't know.
Anyways, I guess that's something more for the big smarks. Anyways, but also I was surprised that Morrison beat Sheamus because I thought that this would actually hurt Sheamus if he lost.
I actually really like this. I was expecting Sheamus to win. Like, if you would have asked me for my predictions, I would have definitely gotten this one wrong. I would have said that Sheamus, yeah, he'll win, you know what I mean? Because you have Morrison basically take him down for 3 weeks in a row. Sheamus has to win to get his heat back. But instead, you know, I mean, it was weird to see him actually to see Morrison get that victory. It really was. I wonder if they're going to have like a chairs match at a TLC. What do you think?
Why a chairs match?
I guess they could do a table. They won't do a ladder match, though. I mean, that's guaranteed.
No. Well, Sheamus won't do a ladder match. You probably should clarify that.
Sheamus won't. But, I mean, they could do a table, I guess. But I could see them doing a chairs more, but I could be wrong.
No, that's true. But anyway, so if you haven't heard yet, Orton won. Cena was fired. Cena even went down like the 2.5 and then went for the 3, which I thought was kind of weird. But he did it. I'm happy that Cena stuck by it. But now what happens? I mean, what does Orton do from here, though? And Cena.
Well, and that's where we actually, this is a point in time where we'd really go in depth about it. But, I mean, Raw kind of answered some of those questions for us. So why don't we jump straight into Raw? We have the King of the Ring tournament is returning next week. We have Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Morrison, and Ezekiel Jackson as the Raw people. Mm-hmm. Do you like this?
Oh, I like Ezekiel Jackson. I think he's he used to be that heel, but now he comes out. It kind of reminds me of Mark Henry back in the day when Mark Henry was like a heel and no one liked him. And then he came out as Sexual Chocolate later on and everyone started liking him. Now he's just the world's strongest man. And he's a face. I think they tried to turn him heel once and didn't work. Ezekiel Jackson is like, I think can be a champion, and he should be. I would love to see the belt, the strap on him. I'd love to see him beat, someone big time just to win the belt. But
So now I have a question. They said that it's going to be 8 people, 4 from Raw, 4 from SmackDown. Will it be Raw versus SmackDown matches, or will it be all 4 Raw versus each other and all 4 SmackDown versus each other?
Good question, because I would think that it would be Raw versus SmackDown, like, because it's set up where you have 3 faces, 1 heel on Raw, and 3 heels and 1 face on SmackDown. So I would think that you would have to go Raw versus SmackDown first. Well, that's just me.
Yeah, and maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll have they'll have those matches. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out next week. So, Cena gave his farewell speech. So do you think he's going to be gone very long?
No, I don't think Juan will be gone very long. I think he'll be around for a while.
And who's this Juan you're speaking of, Andy?
It's John Cena's twin brother, Juan. who is it? Was it Mr. America? Is that
Mr.
right?
Mr. America.
Yeah, Mr. America. It's going to be something like that. I'm just saying. Yeah, like, what's what it could be. So, and of course...
I am looking forward to how badly this is going to suck.
Oh, this is going to be bad. You already know it's going to be bad.
Horrible. They're going to play it off as though it's cool.
Yeah, like the Mr. America lifts the mask. Hey, look, it's really Hulk Hogan. No one cares. No one cares whatsoever. So Orton retains. He's forced to wrestle, of course, Wade Barrett. He retains. Hurts his knee real bad. And then The Miz comes out. Cashes in the Money in the Bank and wins. He is now the WWE heavyweight champion. Yeah.
Did you think this was going to happen? When he came out and cashed it in, did you think he was going to win?
No. I thought Cena was going to come out and screw him.
I thought he was going to lose. I thought Daniel Bryan was going to come out, to be honest, after what he did to him earlier in the night.
See, I thought about that too. I thought about that, but in a way, it's kind of better this way because I think Daniel Bryan's going to end up winning the heavyweight. I think he's going to end up winning that belt. I don't know why, but I just think he's going to. But, of course, they haven't been marketing Daniel Bryan the proper way, so is WWE as well. They didn't make that superstar. They made The Miz. You never know. But the funny thing about The Miz cashing in and winning is everything that happened afterwards. TMZ picked it up. ESPN picked it up. I mean, there's tons of places that picked it up. And, of course, Kevin Nash decides to throw in his 2 cents and say that he basically bashed the fact that The Miz won. And I thought that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was like, Diesel, Kevin Nash, decides to bash him for it. But this is the same dumbass that decided to say, you know what would be really awesome? If David Arquette was the WCW heavyweight champion, and then make JVDP laugh about it. I think that's a fine idea. Okay, this is coming from that guy. Mm-hmm. At least The Miz is a wrestler. Okay, yeah, it's taken him 6 years to get there, and technically I don't think he's ever going to hold that belt after this. It's just one of those things. I didn't think Jack Swagger would ever be a good champion. He turned out to be a decent one, but no one cared. And I think that's what's going to happen to The Miz. I think he's going to be champion. No one's going to care. Someone's going to win the belt at not this pay-per-view, but at Royal Rumble. I can guarantee it. At least Royal Rumble. Or Elimination Chamber, one of those two. But one of those two, that's where The Miz is going to drop it.
And something else that should be said, too. A lot of times you'll see the title change hands multiple times during this season. And one of the reasons why is because wrestling viewership goes down. And so they need something that will make people interested again. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of The Miz, and I don't think that he should ever be the World Heavyweight Champion on any brand. But here's the thing. I am excited for this, and I cannot wait to see what happens next week, which is what you're supposed to be doing as a wrestling organization. You put out this show – and you make fans get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
To make me go, wow, you know what? The Miz is the new champion. And what's going to happen next week? Is Orton going to be there? Is he going to be pissed? Is he going to sit there and like go crazy? Is Cena going to go crazy? Like, I mean, is he going to go back and like do something? Is Wade Barrett? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's what you want. So I'm excited about this. I am. Are you?
I mean, I'm excited about it, but I'm not. I'm excited because I think Daniel Bryan's going to have something. I think he's going to cause The Miz to lose one way or the other. And I think it'd be kind of funny if he came out and won the belt. Like, just beat The Miz.
I think it's too early.
It is too early. Way too early. But Jack Swagger was a champion for, 3 months, and no one gave a crap. No one literally cared that he was a champion.
It was on SmackDown, though.
Okay. Yeah, how many people actually had what channel was it on again? The CW?
At that time was My Network.
My Network TV. How many people actually had that in HD? Like two people? But yeah,
I'm one of them.
Exactly. But I don't know, I'm glad they kind of did this, but I also wish they would have waited to like Royal Rumble or something like that to have him cash it in, but hey, at least he gets to go back to Cleveland, Ohio, where I think he's from, and yeah, gets to bring the belt home, which is kind of cool. Cena doesn't, because he doesn't have it.
Now, something else, too, is that there are reports online right now. They could be wrong, but they're saying Alex Riley wasn't fired because since he is the Miz's protege, mm-hmm. He wasn't fired for his DUI because they had the Miz plan to win the title, and they needed to have him in the Miz's corner. So, obviously, he got a stern talking to about, you know, what happened, but it looks like he's not going to be fired for this, and this is the reason why. Do you think that's true?
Well, Chris Jericho and Shane Helms, when they had their little incident, they actually, Helms got fired, but he got fired because he was doing too much partying. Alex Riley made one mistake, and he's not a problem backstage. If he was having, if he was problematic backstage, that's a different story. Then they would have terminated him. But I think he actually realized that he messed up, because if you look at the picture, it was the picture for last week's show. So if you want to see it, go to last week's show. But if you look in his eyes, he actually looks like he's scared. Like, he doesn't know what's going to happen. And they said that he's been very quiet afterwards. He wasn't kind of like, he's been kind of keeping to himself more and more, just for the simple fact that he doesn't want to get fired. And I think the fact that this kind of was a wake up call, because I don't think he's a big drinker, because usually you hear about that stuff. I mean, maybe he's a big partier. Like Helms, you always heard about him partying and doing this and that. You never heard it with Alex Riley. So I'm wondering if it was just a one-time thing. He got in trouble for it. He did not blow, though. So technically, he's just going to get driving under the influence right now, but no blood test. So anyways, that's a different story. Completely different story. Maybe we'll get a real police officer on and talk about that someday. Anyway, so let's just go over to SmackDown because of the King of the Ring tourney. Of course, you heard Kofi, Alberto, Drew, and Cody are in it as well. So you got the three heels and one face. Kofi, of course, being the face. What do you think, Aaron?
I am surprised by a couple of things, which were that Alberto Del Rio got a win over the Big Show. It was a count out, you know, so it's one of those like really cheap victories that Big Show saves face. And Cody beat Rey Mysterio in the main event. That one really surprised me. I mean, Alberto interfered and everything like that, but still, you know, I mean, that's Rey's, you know, one of your top superstars over there, and Cody's a very mid-level guy. I mean, you know, were you surprised by that too?
No, because I knew that they had to go face versus heel in all the matches, and this is the last one. I was like, all right, there's no way Rey can win. And I kept thinking, I'm like, why are they going to let Cody win? That's not right to me, but hey, crap happens.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something else that happened too on SmackDown is that Paul Bearer's character is gone. You know, there was a storyline that was going on with Edge, and they basically made it look like Paul Bearer was, you know, killed or whatever it was. So, do you like Paul Bearer being gone?
Nah, he was there. He's gone. That you can't do that cartoony crap in wrestling anymore. I don't believe Undertaker. I just don't. I mean, that character, it's like, okay, it's over. You know, when he was the, the big evil, that was fine. I mean, that was fine. He did a good job. Paul Bearer bringing him back, saying Undertaker is the Undertaker and he's the dead man walking or whatever. It's not believable. You almost need to go back to the one where he's on the bike, rides the bike around the ring, you know, because it's hard for him to, you know, walk to the ring. That's why it takes so long. And plus, you know, who doesn't like seeing WrestleMania, and especially since it's going to be at the Georgia Dome this year? How would you like to him basically go, what, I don't know, I don't think it's a quarter mile, but like, you know, have him ride all the way down to the ring? That would be kind of neat. I wonder how fast he would get. Brakes go out all of a sudden. He's like, oh, no brakes. He can't blame the cameraman guy for not catching him properly this time. So
yeah, I would definitely cut his brakes. So. No,
but who cares? NXT, you watched it. If you didn't, guess what? AJ was eliminated. All right, so if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com is what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your pizza on the internet at GoDaddy.com. Dreamer beats Rhino in a street fight in TNA. Interesting match.
Now, here's what's really interesting about this, though. Rhino is set to face RVD in a match at their next pay-per-view. And what happens typically is that you would have Rhino beat Dreamer. And so that's what you're expecting while watching this. And for whatever reason, Tommy Dreamer ended up winning. And it actually kind of makes Rhino look a little bit weaker of a character. So it makes me wonder if he's going to win at the pay-per-view. I mean, what do you think?
He won't win at the pay-per-view. There's no way.
You don't think so? It's a first blood match, though. So yeah. against RVD. So, I mean, they could do something where they'll have a little bit of a swerve to let Rhino win.
No, I don't think you can do that. I think because then it makes RVD look bad. But and TNA's usually pretty good about this stuff. So I actually will. I think that the fact that, you know, Dreamer beat Rhino, Rhino's definitely going to lose to RVD. I just know it.
Mm-hmm. Now, No, I'm sorry. You had someone else?
No.
Oh. So I was going to say, so a lot of this week's TNA was focused around Team Morgan versus Team Fortune. And so Matt Morgan, the entire time, was recruiting people to join his, you know, little team so they could have their 4-on-4 match, you know. So he got Samoa Joe. He got, of course, Doug Williams. And then he got the Pope to take on Fortune. But this was a match, and TNA does this an awful lot, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it, especially when they do it too often. But it ended in a no contest. What do you think?
They got to stop doing that. Seriously, you got to stop doing that. Winner or loser, winner, you know, let Fortune cheat to win. That's fine, but don't have him go to a no contest. That makes no sense. Hurts everyone involved, I think, but, you know, that's just me.
I agree.
Anyway, so the WWE is bringing back King of the Ring. One of those concepts that is a great idea, but they forget to do it every so often. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started back, if I'm correct, in what, 1985? Is that right? 85. Yep. And then went from 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. And then in 1990, I think Vince was in another coma, woke up in 91 and said, hey, let's do another one. And then nothing happened.
Well, you know, and something else too is that they, you know, in the 2000s, they took a break. There was one in 2002. They took a break until 2006. They took another break until 2008, and then another break until 2010. And, you know, which kind of sucks. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I actually think the King of the Ring concept is really great. I think it's something that you do in the summertime, and one of the reasons you do it in the summertime is because Royal Rumble, you are guaranteed a world heavyweight title shot at WrestleMania, which is great. You know, that's perfect. You can do the King of the Ring tournament in like July and have it be a guaranteed title shot for the next pay-per-view, which is SummerSlam, which is a huge pay-per-view. So you could do something like that, or have it in June, you know, June or July, have it in one of the summer months, and really have this build up to it. Because you could have it be 16 people, you know. You can have it be, you know, 8 from Raw and 8 from SmackDown, which is what they did this time, you know. And that's an option that you have. Now, my question to you, Andy, you know, kind of going over – I went over a little bit the history and everything. When you look at some of the past winners, what were the best ones that won? That went on to bigger things.
Well, Owen Hart, of course. Steve Austin, of course, everyone remembers that. Kurt Angle, Edge, Bret Hart, I think, already was big. Mabel, Triple H.
anyone
get the Mabel? I got a Mabel in there. Lesnar, Regal didn't do anything. He kind of won it. And that was it. Booker T went on forever, it felt like. Forever. Just kept talking about it. And, you know, King Booker. That was fine. Ken Shamrock and Don Morocco was the first one, of course. I mean, there's, I don't know.
What are your busts?
I'd have to say, of course, Mr. Ass, Mabel, Triple H. I snuck that in there, too. Tito Santana to a certain extent. I don't think it really did anything for him. William Regal did nothing.
Which is something I wanted to bring up. William Regal was the last King of the Ring winner. And if I'm correct, I believe he beat CM Punk for that. I'm not positive, but I do believe he did. Now, what have they even announced what you get if you're the King of the Ring? Or is it going to be another bragging rights pay-per-view where you win nothing?
You win nothing.
That's what this is going to be? Is this a waste of everyone's time then?
Waste of everyone's time. Has to
All
be.
Right. All right, so then what should King of the Ring be to you, Andy?
Nothing. It should just be gone. You're right. CM Punk did lose to William Regal.
Okay.
Even though.
Thank you for the fact check.
What do you think?
I mean, let's say they do King of the Ring every year.
Oh, if they did it every year, that's a different story. It's like
what
putting,
should King of the Ring mean, though? What should it be?
If you're King of the Ring, you should be royalty, and I think you actually should get a title shot of any title that you want. Speaking of that, this is completely off topic. Did Caval get his title shot?
No, he didn't.
Anyways, So if they're going to do something, they just need to keep up with the concept. And that's the thing. King of the Ring, they need to have it every year then. It should be, realistically, they should actually do it, I think, in December and have it a December Raw, 3 hours long. I think that would be the way to do it. That's what I think, at least. And then say the winner gets... actually, you could also incorporate that into Royal Rumble. You could say the winner gets to face that World Heavyweight Champion at Royal Rumble. There you go. Kind of tie it in.
You could do that. That is an option. I think that if you have it earlier, though, and that's why I was saying do it like in the summer months, mm-hmm. That's, you would have that like big buildup then, and that way it means something.
Or you could do it in like June and then have it so that in the SummerSlam, that pay-per-view, you get the title shot or something like that.
Well, which is what I was saying. Like, you could do June, skip over July in the same way you have the Royal Rumble in January. Then you have, of course, the February pay-per-view Elimination Chamber. So, but anyway, I think that's about all for King of the Ring. We definitely got your thoughts down on it, Andy. So
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we got for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. And yes, we're going to start tweeting more and more. Anytime there's breaking news, we'll put out a little tweet. So if you want to follow me, I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and A6 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download the show. And until next time, we're tagging out.